Today, I'm going to talk about the one sutta from Anguttara Nikaya. It's the Avarana Sutta. It is about hindrances. And you are hearing about the hindrances every day. You might feel a bit bored hearing it again, but I hope you will listen it carefully. And in the sutta, Buddha said that Panchi me bhikkhave avarana nivarana cetaso accha guha panyaya dupalikarana. It means there are five obstacles, hindrances, that overwhelm our mind and that weaken the wisdom. So, avarana, the obstruction, and nivarana, the hindrances. So, the five obstructions, when they arise in our mind, it weaken the wisdom. It defile our mind. Our mind become impure, and the wisdom, it weaken wisdom. So avarana has a meaning that it blocks, it obstructs a way to wholesome deeds. It blocks the way to jhana. It blocks the way to insight knowledges and pattern fruition knowledges. And nivarana, it completely prevents wholesome deeds from arising. It completely prevents the way to jhana. It completely prevents the way to insight knowledges, pattern fruition knowledges. So when those nivaranas, those hindrances, those obstructions, they are present, they will not allow the unarising mundane and supramundane knowledges to arise, and they destroy the knowledges that has arisen. So panyaya dubalikarana, the Pali word, means they weaken the wisdom. In the commentary, it says that the wisdom, when those nivaranas are present, the wisdom or knowledge, it becomes weak, slow, dull, and unclear. So, in the sutta, Buddha said that there are five types of hindrances: the kamachanda nivarana, the hindrance of sensual desire, vyapada nivarana, the hindrance of ill will or anger, tinamita nivarana, the hindrance of sloth and torpor, uddaccha kukkuccha nivarana, the hindrance of restlessness and remorse, and the vichikicca nivarana, the hindrance of skeptical doubt. So when we have not abandoned these five types of hindrances, the obstacles that overwhelm our mind and that weaken the wisdom, and we don't have a strength, then it is not possible for us to know that what is for our own benefit, to know what is for the benefit of others, and to know the what is for the benefit of both, and also to realize the superhuman distinction in knowledge and vision worthy of noble ones. Alamariya Jnana Dasana in Pali. So it is not possible to know the benefits of both ourselves and the others, and also it is not possible to realize the knowledges when those five types of hindrances are present. So is the example given again that suppose there is a river is flowing from the high mountain and it travels a long distance, and the current, its current is very swift and strong, and it carries everything with it. And suppose one person would open the channels on the both sides of a river leading away from it, so the current in the middle of the river would be dispersed, diffused, and dissipated. As a result, a river would not go far like before, and its current would not be swift and strong like before, and it would not carry everything with it. The same way, if those hindrances, if we haven't abandoned it yet, then it is impossible for us to know the benefits of ourselves and of others, and also to realize the knowledges, the panya, wisdom. So, kamachanda nivarana, the hindrance of sensual desire, wanting to see the good visible objects, wanting to hear the good sounds, wanting to have a good smells, and wanting to have a tasty food, and wanting to have a very pleasant touchings. So this desire for five sensual objects, that is the kamachanda. And in kamachanda, there is two words combined, kama and chanda. Kama has a meaning of wanting, craving for the sense objects. And chanda also has a meaning of wanting or desire. And so when the two words of same meaning, they come together, then that type of desire is not an ordinary desire. The extreme desire, extreme. So, kamachanda, so extremely wanting for the sensual pleasures and the sense objects. And the five types of sense objects, the seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, and touching. But sometimes we are also attached to some thoughts, the imaginations, and fantasizing. When we imagine something, we just like to imagine it continuously. We just want to fantasize continuously. We don't want to let it go. We are very attached to it. So that type of attachment, and also the desire, is also the kamachanda nivarana, the hindrance of sensual desire. And actually it is the lobha, the greed. And this greed has a characteristic of grasping the objects, the sense objects, taking hold of an object. It is the characteristic or the nature of lobha. When we attest to something, then we just want to grasp it. We don't want to let it go. Our mind takes a hold of that object. And it is compared to a kind of sticky substance. It's like a glue. In Pali, it is called makata lepa. Makata is a monkey, lepa is a glue. So if you translate it, if you want to translate, it will be the monkey glue. That is the kind of a sticky substance. Because in olden days, when the hunters want to catch the monkeys, they use that monkey glue, the sticking substance. The hunters, they would set this sticky substance on the way, on the track of monkeys, and those monkeys who are not foolish, who are not careless by nature, when they see this substance, this sticky substance, they would avoid it from a far distance. But some monkeys who are foolish and who are careless in nature and who are very curious about the new things, because this sticking substance is very shiny in color, and it's from the tree. It comes from the tree. So it's very shiny, and the monkey, he's very curious to know what is that. So he comes to that sticky substance, and he tried to grab it with his one paw, but it stick there. It gets stuck there, so he cannot take it out, his paw. So to free his paw, he tried to grab that sticky substance with another paw, and that one also stuck there. So the both paw gets stuck in that sticky substance, and to free both paws, he used his one foot. And that foot also gets stuck there. So again, he tried to free both paws and his one foot. He grabbed it with another foot. That one also gets stuck there. And again, to free both paws and feet, he used his mouth. He used his mouth to grab it, but that one also gets stuck there. So now he cannot move anymore, and the hunter comes and kills him. So that type of grasping nature is the characteristics of lobha. There's a desire, attachment. And Sarah Upandita would always give an example of ants in the honey. The ants like sweet things. So when the ants get a sweet taste, it is not satisfied. He wants more and more, and until he drown in the honey. So that type of nature, the grasping nature, the grasping the sensual objects, it is the nature of lobha. And the function of lobha is sticking to the sense objects. And its example given is like when we throw a piece of meat to a hot pan, that piece of meat would stick to the hot pan. We cannot remove it easily. It stick to the hot pan. The same way, the lobha, when it arises, the desire, the attachment when arises, it sticks to the object of senses, and it is not easy to get rid of it. It is not easy to remove. So that is the function of lobha. And it is manifested as not giving up. Once we attach to something, we don't want to give up. And the proximate cause of this lobha is seeing enjoyment in things that lead to bondage. And also the ayoniso manasikara, the unwise attention, that is the cause for the nivaranas, the all of nivaranas, to arise. So when there is this kamachanda, the desire, it prevents us from doing wholesome deeds. It prevents us from doing, practicing samatha meditation and also the insight meditation. That is why it is called nivarana, the hindrance, or the avarana, the obstruction. And this kamachanda, the desire of sensual pleasures, it can arise during practice also, very easily it can arise during practice. And if we do not restrain our faculties, the sense faculties, it can arise easily. Especially in the walking meditation, if we cannot control, if we don't control our eyes, if we just want to look here and there, and if we see something interesting, something desirable, then the lobha will arise. And also sometimes we want to look to the distance, far distance, because for the eye exercise, we want to have some exercise for our eyes, and we look in the far distances because here you see the natural beauty here, the greenery, and it's the green is good for eye, we all know. So when we look on the green scenes, we are not mindful at that time. We are not noting like looking or seeing, and many thoughts going on about this scenery. So we are enjoying that looking. So it means we are caught by this kamachanda nivarana. And also during the practice, because we all have to eat what the cook made for us, and sometimes the food we may not like, and we may have a desire for some certain food. So that type of desire is also the kamachanda, the desire for sensual pleasures. And especially when you go to the Asian countries to practice, you may not have a food that you are eating in your everyday life, and that completely different food. Sometimes you might have a strong desire for your food. And that desire sometimes become a big hindrance in our practice, in developing the insight knowledges. So whenever that desire, that type of desire arises, we just have to note it. We have to be very mindful in our practice. We should try to be very mindful so that those desires will not have a chance to arise. Means we are preventing those desire for sensual pleasures. by noting or by being mindful every moment. But sometimes it arises. And when it arises, we just have to note it right away. It's like a prevention and cure. We should try to prevent those hindrance from arising. And if they arise, we just have to note it right away. In the practice, even though we are noting every arising objects, sometimes we have a very painful sensations. We are having very difficult situation. We are having a lot of pain in the practice. We are noting it. But in between, we may have a desire for some comfortness. In Pali, it says that dukkhi sukhang patayati. When we have a dukkha, we crave for the sukha. When we have a sufferings, then we wish for the comfortness. And also, sometimes in the practice, when we have a little bit of comfortable feeling, a little bit of calmness, or tranquility, or peacefulness, what do? We enjoy it because we liked that type of that tranquility, the peacefulness and calmness. We like it, so we enjoy it. We don't want to let it go. And we also, wishing for the more and more calmness, peacefulness and tranquility. So that is also the desire, the sensual, the desire, kamachanda. Sukhi biyopi itsati in Pali. When we have a sukha, we crave for the more and more sukha. We wish for the more and more sukha. And also, when our practice goes very well, when our mind is economos, we like it and we just want it forever. And the upekkha, that is the upekkha, the neutral feeling, and that neutral feeling is mostly like a sukha. So we just want it forever. We don't want to let it go. So that type of desire also arise in our practice, and sometimes we don't realize it. We still think that, oh, I'm still noting the objects, I'm still in the present moment. But unknowingly, we are attached to these feelings that we are having. So when we have that type of attachment or that type of desire, it becomes a hindrance in our practice. Especially when the impurities of insight arise, the vipassanupakilesa, when the impurities of insight arise, we are very much likely to attest to it. We think that it's the goal. It's the highest happiness, or the highest peacefulness, or highest calmness. It is our destination. We think that way. And so we are enjoying that impurities of insight, the vipassanupakilesa. We could not give it up. So we stuck there. And that become a big hindrance for our further practice. So whenever we have that type of attachment in our attachment or desire, they arise, we have to note it immediately so that otherwise we could not develop the higher insight knowledges. If we fail to note that desire when they arise for a long time, we could even lose the lose or destroy the concentration that we hardly accumulated. So this Kamachanda Nivarana is a very dangerous for our practice. If we couldn't see it in the practice, then we will stuck. We will be stuck there. And in the practice, also sometimes when we have a when our practice is going very smoothly, but we still want to have a new experiences in the practice. We want to expect, we are expecting for the new and new things and new objects. And we are expecting for the special dhammas to arise. We are expecting for the excellent sitting. So this type of expectation is also a big hindrance for our practice. It is also a desire, but it is not a desire for the sensual pleasure. It is a desire for the wholesome deed, the insight knowledges, but it still can be a big hindrance for our practice. That is why whenever that type of expectation arises, we have to note it immediately. And the desire for sensual pleasures, if it arises, arises in the people who already attend the jhana, they will lose the jhana immediately. So it is very dangerous. And the Buddha, in many discourses, Buddha has compared this sensual desire as a debt. When in the olden days, people, the poor people, they borrow money from rich people. And when they could not pay back in time, the rich people will insult them. The rich people will ask for the money back again and again. They will insult them in the public. And these poor people, because they borrow money from rich people, they always have to pay respect to those people, rich people. Same way, if we have a desire for the sensual pleasures, if we have a desire for some sense objects, we also have to be suffered because of that desire. For example, if we have a very valuable thing with us, we have to take care of it. We have to be very mindful handling those valuable things. It's like we are also suffering from it. So when the poor person, he pay back the money, later on, he doesn't need to pay respect to the rich person. He doesn't need to care after his person. Now he is free, quite free. He can do whatever he wants. He can go wherever he wants. Same way, if we are free from this sense desire, we will have a very happy life, freedom. We don't need to pay respect to those sense objects. So kamachanda, that desire of sensual pleasure, desire for sensual pleasure, is compared to the depth. And the second one is the second hindrance is the vyapada nivarana, the hindrance of ill will. It is anger, aversion, dissatisfaction, disappointment, fear, sadness, sorrow, grief, lamentation, all are the vyapada. Actually, vyapada is a dosa. Dosa is a anger. And when we come across with undesirable objects, if we don't have a reasoning power, patisankhana bala in Pali, if we don't have a reasoning power, then we become angry very easily. In the practice also, in the meditation retreat also, when we are practicing very quietly, very smoothly, our notings are going very smoothly, concentration is very good. At the same time, maybe the fellow yogi makes some noise, the loud noise. And if we fail to note that noise as a hearing, then we become very angry. Oh, this yogi, he doesn't consider for other yogis. My noting is so good, my concentration was so good, but because of the noise he made, I lose my concentration. I lose everything. So we have a lot of thoughts, the angry thoughts going on. So because the thoughts arising one after another, and we are not noting that thought also. First we forgot to note the hearing, and now we become angry and a lot of thoughts coming, and we forgot to note those thoughts. Means we are losing our mindfulness for a long time. There is a big gap between the notings. So easily we lose our concentration. This has happened to mostly the sensitive person, because some people are very, very sensitive, and they are a lack of reasoning power. So in the practice, they easily become disappointed, they easily become angry for some reason. And in practice also, when in meditation, when we are trying our best, but sometimes our practice is not smooth as we wish, and sometimes we are not satisfied with ourselves, then also at that time the dosa can arise, the sadness arise, disappointment is there, we become upset, and sometimes even the tears roll down. So all these are the dosa, the vyapada nivarana, hindrance of ill will. So whenever this dosa arises, we have to note it immediately. The dosa is compared to a person suffering from a chronic disease. A person suffering from chronic disease, he would not be able to enjoy anything. The same way, if our mind is caught up by dosa, if we are angry, then we cannot enjoy anything in the practice. So in order to remove or dispel this dosa, either we have to practice loving kindness, but in the during vipassana practice, we just have to note it immediately. As soon as it arises, we just have to note it so that it will disappear very quickly. And this dosa is this dosa has a characteristics of ferocity. When there is dosa, the anger, we become very cruel. We become very rough. It's compared to a poisonous snake hit by someone. If we hit a snake, especially a cobra, the cobra, it will raise its head with the anger. So dosa is like that. And the dosa, its function is to spread or burn off the support, burn off its own support. It's spread all over in our mind. It's like a poison in the water. When we put a poison in the water, the poison will spread all over in the water. Same way the dosa, it's spread in our mind. And it burns up the dosa, it burns up our mind and also the body. When the anger is there, we feel our mind and body both very hot. That's why sometimes when the anger arises, some people have a high blood pressure. Some people's the pressure goes up. Pressure becomes very high, and even some can get a stroke because of this dosa. Because dosa also has a nature of sadness and upset mind. Seado Upandita used to say that people have a gastric problem, the stomach problem, is because of the dosa also. Because when you have a sad feeling, your mind is very upset, you are not satisfied with something, then because of that mind, it affects in our body also. So sometimes people have a stomach problem. And this dosa is manifested as persecuting. And when we are angry, before we do anything to other person, we ourselves are afflicted with suffering. And the proximate cause of the dosa is reasons of annoyance. So when dosa, the anger arises, we should note immediately. If we fail to note this anger immediately, then the mana, conceit, will follow it, and other unwholesome mental states also follow it. That is why we have to note it immediately whenever this type of dosa, the anger or disappointment or upset mind, we just note it. We have to note it immediately. And another hindrance is the sloth and torpor. Tina, Mitta in Pali. There is Tina and Mitta, the two mental states. Tina is a lacking of energy in performing wholesome deeds. It's a shrinking mind, shrinking nature of mind. And Mitta is a feeling exhausted, tired. So when Tina Mitta is present, we don't want to do anything. We don't want to do wholesome deeds. We don't want to meditate. We don't want to listen to Dhamma talks. We become lazy. Normally, we understand tinamita is a sleepiness, drowsiness. But not only sleepiness and drowsiness is tinamita, the laziness. Even though we are not sleepy, even though we are not drowsy, but if we still don't want to do the meditation, if we don't want to do the good wholesome deeds, that is also the nature of tinamita. It is because of tinamita. We don't want to exert effort, energy. And when the tinamita is there in the practice, even though we are noting the objects, but we are noting the objects without interest in it. So we don't see the nature of objects clearly. Because of tinamita, our mind becomes very dull, inactive. We feel very drowsy. We feel very heavy. The characteristic of tina is sluggishness of mind. The characteristic of tina is a lacking of driving power. When tina is present, we don't have a driving power. We don't have an effort. And its function is to dispel energy. And it is manifested as a sinking of the mind. And a characteristic of metta is unwieldiness. And its function is to suffocate. And it is manifested as a tiredness, the fatigue. So whenever tinamita present, because we don't have effort, we don't have energy, we won't be able to see the very true natures of the objects that are arising at that very moment. So whenever this tinamita arises, the drowsiness, the laziness, the boredom, the laziness, whenever they arise, we have to note it with the full force until it disappears. So if we can note with the full force until it disappears, we feel very fresh, like getting off after a sound sleep. We feel very, very fresh. So Buddha has given the different ways to overcome this tinamita. One of the ways is when you, in the meditation, if you feel sleepy or drowsy, what you have to do, the Buddha said, to pull our ears, the both ears, until we feel the pain. We have to pull both ears until we feel the pain so that our mind open up. If that does not work, what we do, we have to see some lights. Or if that does not work, sometimes we have to, we can chant some passages, what we remember. If that does not work, sometimes we wash our face. If that does not work, then get up and do walking. And walking also does not help. Then we just go to the bed. So that's what the Buddha gave ways to overcome the tinamita, the drowsiness or sleepiness of the sleepiness. And the fourth, this tinamita is compared to the prison. Person who is locked up in the prison will not have a chance to enjoy the festivals going outside. He don't know what's going outside. He will not have a chance to enjoy it. Same way, if we have this tinamita sleepiness, we will not have a chance to enjoy the taste of Dhamma. The fourth nivarana, the hindrance, is udaccha kukuccha, the restlessness and remorse. Restlessness, udaccha. The literal meaning of udaccha is shaking above the object. That means the mind is not stick to the object. It cannot take the object properly. The mind is little removed from the object. Sometimes the udaccha is described as a distraction. The mind is not firmly stay on the object. So when the restlessness is present, our mind will not stay with one object. It is just wandering here and there, moving from one object to another object. The mind becomes restless because of the many worldly thoughts, many memories. We are having a lot of worldly thoughts, and that makes us restless. In the practice also, sometimes the mind becomes very restless. Even though we are not thinking the worldly memories, worldly thoughts, but sometimes in the practice, when we are keeping on noting the objects, our mind is wandering in subtle way. How our mind wanders in subtle way. We are checking our notings. We are judging ourselves. Whether my noting is okay or not. Whether I could see the objects clearly or not. And also we are planning, how will I note the objects? I will note this object first, and later I will note that object. So the mind is thinking in that way. So that is also the udaccha, the restlessness. We are not thinking the worldly things, but we are thinking, the mind is wandering inside. So that type of subtle restlessness, we have to be very careful of it. We have to, as soon as that type of restlessness, the wandering arises, we have to note it right away. We should be able to recognize it. Sometimes we don't know because it's very subtle. We don't think that the mind is wandering. We still think that my noting is continuous. My mindfulness is very continuous. I can note everything. But in between the notings, these types of subtle wanderings taking place there. So this restlessness has a characteristic of disquiet. When the restlessness is there, the mind is not quiet. It's like the water whipped by the wind. And when there is wind, the water is not still. There will be when the restlessness is there, our mind will not be still. And the function of udaccha restlessness is to make mind unsteady, like a wind makes the banner ripples. Same way the udasa restlessness makes our mind unsteady. And it is manifested as a turmoil. When we throw a stone into a heap of ashes, the ashes rise up, so we couldn't see the things clearly. The same way, if the udasa is there, we cannot see the objects clearly. And the proximate cause of this udasa is unwise attention, ayoniso manasikara. Kukutsa is a remorse or a worry. And there are two types of kukutsa. One is the first one is a kata dusarita kukutsa, means the remorse or worry with regards to the bad actions or bad deeds done in the past. And another second one is akata sucharita kukutsa, a remorse with regard to the good deeds we did not do in the past. So here the remorse have two kinds of objects, the good and the bad, the good karma and the bad karma. The good karma which we has not done in the past, and the bad karma which we has done in the past. So because of that, the regret arises, the remorse. That is the kukutsa. So the kukutsa has a characteristic of a subsequent regret. That means the regret, it comes after having done or having not done. And the function is to feel sorry over what has done and what has not done in the past. And it is manifested as a remorse. And we feel very discomfort feeling in our mind. And the proximate cause of this kukutsa is what has or has not done in the past. And this udasa kukutsa is compared to the slave. So when the slave always has to follow his master's order, he cannot do whatever he want. He is under the control of his masters. The same way, when the udasa kukutsa, the restlessness and remorse is there, our mind will not stick to the object. Always the mind is wandering. There will not be any mindfulness, so no concentration and no wisdom. So we could not experience the taste of Dhamma. Like a slave could not have, slave does not have a chance to enjoy his life. So udasa kukutsa is compared to slave. And the last one, the fifth hindrance, is the hindrance of skeptical doubt. Not being able to decide. That skeptical doubt about the triple gems, the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, the skeptical doubt about the trainings, the three sikhas, sila, samadhi, and panya, or the doubt about the teachings, the profound teachings of the dependent origination, etc. In the practice also, sometimes we might have a doubt about the practice that we are doing here. Some people might have a doubt that because we are asked to note the rising and falling of the abdomen as a primary object, and some people might think that just by noting the rising and falling of abdomen, is it possible to develop the insight knowledges? So we might have a doubt on the practice. Sometimes we might have a doubt that whether the method that I'm practicing now is a correct method or not, whether it can lead to the Nibbana or not. So, not being able to decide because of that doubt, we could not develop mindfulness and concentration. At the beginning of practice, sometimes we might have a doubt because we haven't experienced any benefits of the practice. We might have a doubt, but we just have to follow the instructions given, noting continuously, so that we develop some knowledges in the practice. The characteristic of visikicca is doubting, always having a doubt. And its function is to waver. When there is a doubt, we cannot choose anything. We are not sure of anything. And it is manifested as undecisiveness, means we cannot decide which is correct, which is wrong. We cannot decide when there is doubt. And the proximate cause is the unwise attention, ayoniso manasikara. So if we have a doubt in the practice, then that doubt can harm to our practice. When doubt arises in our mind, it is very, very difficult to go on practicing meditation. So whenever the doubt arises, we have to note it immediately until it disappears. This doubt is compared to the place free of dangers. When we are free from doubts, then it means we are in the place which is free from dangers. In the olden days, when people travel for the business, they have to carry a lot of valuable things. They are traveling through the jungles. And when they come to the two ways, they are not certain which way they should follow, the right or the wrong way. So, and they have a lot of fear if somebody is following them, if the robbers are following them. Whenever they hear some bird sound, also they become very afraid somebody is following them. And they are confused which way should they go. So later the robbers come and catch them. So if we have a doubt, we might end in the same way. So those are the five hindrances, the five nivaranas. When they arise, it pollutes our mind, it weakens the wisdom. If we can overcome those hindrances, if we can dispel those hindrances, then we will have a pamoja, the gladness. And when there is gladness, the piti, rapture, arise. When there is rapture, tranquility will be there, tranquility arise. And when there is tranquility, we will have a happiness. And when there is a happiness, the mind becomes very concentrated. When mind becomes concentrated, the knowledge will arise very easily. So that's why whenever those types of nivaranas, they arise, we have to note it right away. If we are not able to note them right away, if they takes a long, if they are arising in our mind for the long, long time, we destroy our mindfulness and concentration. So we have to be very careful in our practice. If we can note continuously, it means we are preventing these hindrances from arising. Even though we are trying to prevent them, if they arise, then we have to note them immediately, so that the nivaranas would disappear, and we will have a continuous mindfulness. And we should have a yoniso manasikara, the wise attention. If we have a wise attention, then these nivaranas, the hindrances, they will not arise. Because of unwise attention, ayoniso manasikara, those hindrances, they arise very easily. So that's why in the practice, we should try our best to prevent those nivaranas which hinder us in our practice with the full effort and aiming. So let us try our best to prevent those hindrances from arising. That's all for today.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.